begin a psalm in Psalm chapter 1 in just a moment of time. On the past several Sunday evenings, as we've been looking at ancient wisdom for modern living, we've observed from the wisdom literature what the men and women of God had to say in regard to how to best live life. And when you come to the book of Psalms, you'll find that many of the Psalms were written by David and other men, and you'll find that they are writing in regard to their relationship with God. And tonight, we want to conclude our series on ancient wisdom for modern living as we look at some more wisdom literature. And we want to look this time at an individual and ask him, what is the purpose of life? What is the best way to live my life? We asked Solomon that question. We've asked Job that question. We've asked Agur that question. And when you come to the first psalm, I want us to recognize that this individual is concerned about the person God blesses. I first want you to understand that God has blessed man from the very beginning. If you take your Bible and turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis and the first chapter, you'll find in verse 28 that God blessed man. Then we read where sin entered the world in Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. Yet though sin entered the world and the world became cursed, God still always wanted man to enjoy His blessings. So who is the person God blesses? Well, look in the first psalm and notice with me verse 1. Blessed, underscore that word, happy. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I don't know how many sermons I've preached on Psalm 1, and yet I'm not ashamed to go back and look at what this man had to say in regard to the individual God blesses. And notice what he says in Psalm 1. First, he said, the person who is separated from the world and doesn't follow ungodly counsel. You know, tonight we need to recognize that Christians are to walk in light, that we are to walk different in the world, and that we do not follow ungodly counsel and walk in the ways of the ungodly. Open your Bible, if you will, to the Ephesian letter and the 4th chapter. And when you come to the Ephesian letter and the 4th chapter, look at verse 1. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. I cannot walk with the ungodly and also at the same time walk worthily. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 17. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, he said, this I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Then notice what he said, but you have not so learned Christ. Do you recognize tonight that the person that God blesses is the one that walks worthily? He does not walk with those that have had their counsel darkened. They are alienated from God and have no life with God. They walk in darkness and they walk in blindness. They're past feeling. They work all uncleanness. And thus, back in the first psalm, I want you to understand, I am not to walk in ungodliness. God will not bless ungodliness, but I am to walk in righteousness. Walking is making progress. I take a step, I've made progression. In the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, you remember that John said that we are to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, and that the blood of His Son will cleanse us from all sin. However, there are many who walk in darkness, and instead of progressing toward living right, they walk right smack dab into sin. That happened to Peter. You remember in Luke 22:55, Peter followed afar off. And because he was afar off, he walked right into temptation. Instead of following closely, he was walking with the ungodly. And I'll tell you, if Christians listen to ungodly advice, they soon are standing with the wicked, and they're finally sitting down and agreeing with them. Sitting is stationary. Sitting is staying right there in the midst of wickedness. And so God will not bless that person. He will not bless the one who walks according to the precepts of wickedness, but He will bless those who walk to the precepts according to God, as is recorded in the 119th Psalm. But secondly, notice that God blesses a person who is situated by the waters. Look at verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Now, a Christian is compared to a tree. It gets water from the deep hidden springs under the dry stands. And often we worry about the leaves and the fruit and ignore the roots. But the roots are important. Roots is what provides the needs of life. You remember in John chapter 4, Jesus refers to Himself as water of life. In Revelation 22, He was the dry root that came out of David. Without roots, you know what happens? The tree dies. And what happens when the tree or the vine dies? It becomes chaff. What's chaff? Chaff is nothing more than the husk with the grain stomped out. It blows in the wind. It has no life. It has been cut off from the life source. And so when we're separated from the Word of God, the instrument through which the Holy Spirit guides us and feeds us and gives us living water, then we dry up like chaff and blow away. Without roots, death is near. And so do we see ourselves situated by the river of life? When we cease to bear fruit, you can mark it down. It is wrong. Something is wrong with the roots. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter. And let's get a misunderstanding out of the way. So many people come to Matthew chapter 7 and they read verse 1. And they leave it there. Judge not that you be not judged. And they say, well, you're judging me. And I recognize that there is an unrighteous judgment. There is a self-righteous judgment. There's a hypocritical judgment. But drop down, if you will, to verse 15. There is a judgment that is right. He said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. You will know them, watch it, by their fruits. In other words, what they produce. And notice that he says, you know them. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Well, where does all that start? In the root. And he says that you need to have your roots situated by the river of life. If the Word of God is not rooted in your heart, then, my friend, you'll become nothing more than chaff. And I'll tell you, my friend, we need to be producing fruit. Notice again what he says in verse 18. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, and watch it, thrown into the fire. Well, why is that? It's no good. Go back, if you will, to Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, look at what John said in verse 12 concerning Christ. He said, His winnowing fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly clean out His threshing floor and gather His wheat into the barn, but He will what? Burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. But why is that? It's useless. If you're not bearing fruit and you're not doing what God said, He said, I'll tell you what happens, you'll be burned up. But that brings up a third thought in our study. Notice the third way a man or an individual is blessed. And he's talking about the person who is saturated by the Word of God. Look at verse 2. He delights in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. One who studies the infallible Word of God, one who enjoys knowing what God said, then thinks about the best way to live. They recognize God created us, that God instructs us. And would it not be wise to listen to His counsel on how to live? So often we ignore His Word and listen to man. No wonder we're in the mess we're in. If you look back in the book of Joshua, in the first chapter, you remember Joshua was going to let God's Word be his God. That's where it starts, is letting God be our God. A person who is saturated with the Word is a person who's blessed. But not only that. Look at the opposite extreme. Look, if you will, in Psalm 1, verse 4. And look at the contrast. He said in verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but they're what? We've already talked about it. Chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Well, why not? They have no root to stand. They have no solid foundation. They blow away. And therefore, he says, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. If one refuses to be blessed by God, then one will be judged by God. And he says, they will be burned, they'll be blown, they'll be anything but alive. And unless the plans of God are followed, then one will not be fruitful nor beautiful in his sight. Open your Bible and look in the Philippian letter in the second chapter. And you remember that Paul said that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you know, my friend, if you don't bow now and don't confess now, there'll come a day you will. But it will be too late and you will be blown away. You will burn. And God knows those who are His. And there are only two ways. Those who walk in light or those who walk in darkness. Those who are rooted as a tree or those that are chaff. Those who are saturated with the Word or those who are empty. Those are the contrast. And so the question we must answer is, which way are we walking? Are we saturated with the Word? Are we filled? Are we rooted? Or are we just blown away by every little thing that comes in life? That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, there's the broad way, which many find, and then there's the narrow way, which is difficult, that few find. But it is the way that leads to life. And so the question I have to ask myself is, am I walking in the light? It's sad to see so many walking in darkness away from the light. So many desire the pleasures of this world, they lose eternal life with God. And they're not planted by the water, but they're blown by the wind. You know, it's sad to see someone with no conviction, no backbone. They're not grounded in truth and love. And I'll tell you what Eastside needs. People who, because they're rooted, are fruitful and bearing fruit in the kingdom of God. But I'll tell you, are you walking with Christ or are you sitting with the ungodly? Open your Bible to the Ephesians letter again in the second chapter. And you're sitting somewhere. You're either sitting in the council of the ungodly, right in the midst of them, or you're sitting with Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. And He's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you sit with Christ or do you sit with the ungodly? Are you following in the footsteps of Jesus, 1 Peter 2:21, or the ungodly and the unwise? And which way are you going? Only you can answer that. You know, it's sad that God calls and tells us the purpose of our life, and so many people ignore His call and look everywhere else to find meaning. God gives us purpose. God gives us meaning. His way is the best way to live. If I could get that through, and it touched our heart, and we go out and we show others the joy of Christianity, that we're rooted, that nobody's going to sway us from the truth. We're grounded in truth. And that we walk with God and we walk worthily. And we're not going to be seated with the ungodly. We're going to be seated with Christ. And I'll tell you what. People will begin to see what the purpose of life is and what the best way to live. They can't see there's any difference in us than from everybody else. What appeal is there to Christianity? But can I say something else? If we don't see it in ourselves, then obviously we're not saturated with the Word. We're not grounded and rooted in truth. And I'll tell you what else. If you're not careful, you'll dry up. You know what happens when you dry up? You'll be burned. So tonight, we need to see that God's way is the best way to live. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God and you need to be baptized into Christ or restored into